Leviticus, Old Testament. I got one of those new shirts, the newer shirts. They cost more money. They don't put a pocket on them. I don't like that. Can't keep your glasses where you need them, then you got to find them when you need them. Amen. Of course, we just had Thanksgiving. I got the title of the message today, An Offering of Thanksgiving. And of course, we just celebrated that. And we had, like I said already, thanks, you know, we had turkeys. Oh, before I forget, Cheryl, we got to remember Cheryl in prayer today. I had somebody on my mind. I didn't have her written down. She's not feeling well today, but David's here, so we'll pray for Cheryl. But we had our Thanksgiving turkeys. We had our visits. We had with our family. You know, it's a national holiday. I think, you know, most of us know the history. Thanksgiving, it kind of harkens back to the early pilgrims who went through a particularly harsh winter. And, you know, they celebrated, gave thanks when, you know, harvest time came around the following year that God had brought them through. I mean, they knew who to thank. They thanked God, right? And a lot of the people that came to America in the early years when they first came is because they wanted to get away from England. They wanted where there was a state church, and they wanted to worship God the way that they wanted to, you know. And so, and not everybody that came to America, that was the reason they came. I mean, there was businessmen, people thinking of opportunities to make some money and things like that, adventures and all. But a lot of people that came, you know, it was for that reason. You know, they wanted to worship God. And so their faith in God was a major factor in everything, everyday life. Faith in God in everyday life. And I think that's an important thing. I actually have something to say about that tonight in tonight's service for the message tonight. I think it'll help us a lot. But, you know, I was looking at this, and I probably have said this over the years, and not sometime we forget about it, but I looked up. They don't teach kids history nowadays. They don't know, man. We were looking at some video footage. People, they can't tell time on a clock that's got a dial on it. I mean, they don't know how many states are in the country, how many stars are on the flag. They don't know that coincides with, it's unbelievable what people don't know nowadays. But the observance nationally of Thanksgiving was established by the first president of the United States, I like this, George Washington, in his first term. So in his first term, the first president of this country established Thanksgiving as a national holiday. He knew who to give thanks for. Boy, we could use a lot more people in office in the country like that thought about that, you know, and that's why God blessed this country as he did, has over the years. I think he's struggling right now in one sense to bless us, but that's why. And as I said, a lot of people in the world today, not only this country, but in the world, they don't have a clue as to who to give thanks to, or even the thought to give thanks to anybody for anything. 2 Timothy 3:2 tells us in the last days that men will become lovers of their own selves, which we know old self is a problem, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, and it says unthankful. Unthankful and unholy is the next word that comes after that. And, you know, I remember in my day, you know, when I came up, and I remember, you know, one of the themes was, you know, go out, you get an education, and you work hard, and, you know, make your way and all that. This was, you know, I mean, and that's a good philosophy as well. That's kind of missing today. But, you know, that was the thing. And there were a lot of people that didn't have God in their life then, too. It's not wasn't always this way now. But there was a time when people were unthankful, but they felt like that God, that they earned everything, that they didn't owe God any thanks because they went out and they did work hard and they earned everything that they got. That was a time that we have passed that now. We're not in that. We've gone on past that. Today, it's degenerated even farther than that. Many don't want to work, but they feel like everything is owed to them without working. And, you know, and whether they work or not. And so what's their problem? Well, their problem is they need to be saved. I mean, that's the main problem. They just need to be saved. So they certainly are not thinking about thanking anybody because they just think that things should just come to them. They should be owed to them. But you know, and I'll get to our text today in just a minute. But it's the first place that the word Thanksgiving's mentioned in the Bible. It's you know, I don't know that I'm sure there was Thanksgiving before that. It's first place we find it in the Bible. I think I even used this text before, but it's so good I want to use it again. And so, you know, I don't believe this. I think from the Christian aspect, as far as thanking God goes, I don't believe a person who is possessed by the Holy Spirit cannot recognize what to be thankful for and to whom to be thankful. I mean, and particularly the what to be thankful for. I mean, a lot of us would know, and a lot of people maybe that are not even saved would know that we would thank God, but they don't know the for what part gets a little blurry for them probably. And the longer I've been saved, you know, and the longer that I've And not the amount of time. Let me say, it's not the amount of time I've been saved. Let me put it this way. The more I've grown in the Lord, the more that I've understand things about God and got a little deeper, the more that I understand, what to be thankful for more so. Sometimes we get so personal. I ask him on Wednesday night about what should we be, thankful for that doesn't really pertain to us. Now, I know it's hard to separate that sometimes, because we get so, I'm thankful that I got healed, or I'm thankful that I survived this train wreck, or this and that. But there's other things to be thankful for, and I like to just started focusing on that a little bit more. I, right off the top of my head, thankful for the love of God, that God loves us. I'm thankful for that, even though that does pertain to us. I'm thankful for the grace of God on top of that, the mercy of God. I am thankful for provision and protection. I'm thankful for, this is something you might not think about, the peace that comes from God. Having the peace of God in our heart, no matter what's going on all around us, that we can have the peace of God. Listen, this world's going to wax worse and worse. You might as well get that straightened out right now. Things aren't going to get better. Things aren't going to get progressively better. They're going to get progressively worse as it gets closer to the time, but we're in God's hand, and I'm thinking that gives me peace about that. I understand that, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the fellowship that I have with God, not because he's going to do anything for me. Not he's already done enough. He doesn't have to do another thing. But I'm thankful for fellowship with God, where I can just commune with God and I can feel his presence in a real and powerful way, which will give you the peace of God. There's no way you're going to have the presence of God without the peace of God. It all comes together, and you're going to feel the love of God. I like that. And I'm thankful for that, man. I mean, I thought about it. And then that produces another thing. It's called joy. I know a lot of people don't know nothing about that by the looks of their faces, but there's joy that gets produced, man. I mean, so it's all, that's a lot of things to be thankful for that we could talk about from now on. And that's not exhaustive either when it comes to God by any stretch of the imagination. So I want to look at our text today. This text we're going to show you, and it has to do with the peace offering. And it was also an offering of thanksgiving. And it also relates to today, the things that we have, the same things that we have in Christ today. And so there's many things to be thankful for. In Leviticus chapter 7, verse 11, this is what the Bible says. Said that this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes, mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. And of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for a heave offering unto the Lord. And it shall be the priest that sprinkleth the blood of the peace offerings, and the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. And I know, we're not living in the day when we have those same sacrifices, but we also know this, or you should know if you've studied the Bible long enough or been around here long enough, that everything that we see in type, it was fulfilled in Christ, and it's fulfilled in our day. And so there's a whole bunch of things here that's going to apply for us today as we think about giving God thanks. The very first thing that we see is Christ himself. I'm just thankful for Jesus. I'm thankful for Christ himself, what he's done, just who he is and all that. But we see it right here in our text. It says in verse 12, this was a sacrifice of peace offerings. We have that peace with God, which he shall offer. And he offered it for a thanksgiving. And it said, he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes. But we know in the Bible that the Bible tells us that leaven is a picture of sin. You know what leaven does? I mean, hardly anybody makes bread anymore, but if y'all was around when your mommy or your grandma, and some of you might do it still, when you make bread, you put leaven in there, and leaven causes the dough to rise. It actually causes it to corrupt. That's what's going on. I mean, this stuff's starting to rot, and it starts to swell up, and you stop it by putting it in the oven, and then you get bread. It rises. But unleavened, so leaven always pictures sin. Unleavened cakes, that was a picture of Jesus Christ himself. It was the bread of life. Here it was. He had no sin. He was spotless without sin. And so it represents, unleavened bread here represents Christ himself. Listen, there's no peace with God apart from Christ. I mean, that's why we can be thankful for Christ for this. We would have no peace with God. The reconciliation made with God, he made that for us. And without Christ, we have no peace with God. We won't have any peace from God. I mean, we wouldn't understand it. We can't have it without Christ. So we see this unleavened bread. And we can't even really, without Christ himself, and without the Holy Spirit, we can't really offer thanks to God. It said here they were offering thanksgiving. Well, this is how you got to do it. You got to have unleavened bread. We're going to offer thanks to God today. We've got to have what's unleavened bread. That is the bread of life, Jesus Christ himself. We can't really, if we offered thanks, he wouldn't accept it if we don't have Christ. And so, we see in our text, like I said, it's a peace offering. And boy, it all took place because of Christ. This is something that we can have forgiveness of sin, our sin debt paid. We can have peace with God. We can have peace from God. We can have forgiveness of sin, all just because of Jesus himself. I mean, man, what's something to be thankful for? That, there's nothing going to top that. And the Bible speaks about that, the peace that passes all understanding. Well, if you're sitting out there and you say, well, preacher, I don't understand what you're talking about. I'll not be able to explain it to you. It passes all understanding. That's what it said. The only way you can understand it is you experience that. It's trying to explain it. You just can't really. There's so many unexplained. You can try to, but you can't, really get it across, or somebody can't understand it without Christ in their life. And peace. And so we see the love of God that God has for us. I think about this when we think about being thankful for Christ. When we sinned, when Adam sinned and Eve sinned, the world was plunged into sin, and it was also, there was a curse upon the earth. We live in a cursed world. And then, of course, we were born rebels. I mean, we rebelled against God. We're born rebels. But in his love, this is the great thing about it, that God didn't leave us this way. He could have just said, well, they're sinners, they're corrupt, that's it. But because he loved us, he said, no, I'm not going to leave you that way. I'm going to do something about it. We couldn't do nothing about it. He said, I'm going to do something about it. And so what did he do? He gave us his son. Christmas is coming up. We just had Thanksgiving. Now we got Christmas coming up. We're going to celebrate that gift from God. His son, Jesus Christ, came into the world. And so God didn't leave us this way. And he could have. And we couldn't help ourselves, though. And thank God for God's love. He sent Jesus Christ. He was the answer to that. And then the whosoever will. Man, I mean, some people believe that's a viable offer to everybody in the world. I just do. I believe that. I mean, I just don't believe he could say whosoever will if it wasn't a viable offer to everyone in the world. It has to be a viable offer. And then we were talking about faith today. Listen, man, I said this. Some people say, well, if Jesus died for you, you're saved. No, we're not saved because Jesus died for us. We're saved because we put faith in the fact that Jesus died for us. Well, God gives you the faith. He does, but he doesn't make you exercise it. That's the difference right there. And so we're saved by grace through faith. That's how, in the fact that Jesus died for us. That's what the faith is. So we have that. And so we can have the whosoever will applies. The bread of life, that life again there, the bread of life, that word, we already know this, that word life is Zoe, that's the life of God. We can have the life of God through Jesus Christ. God gave us Jesus Christ. I mean, there's something to be thankful for, amen? Oh, yeah, man, that's something to shout about right there, right? You ain't going to get nothing under the tree that's going to top that this year, I can tell you right now. Huh, them old socks rolled up in a ball, wrapped up in tissue paper, ain't going to cut it. I'm getting at the age now, I need socks, man. When I was a kid, I didn't want to. But you know what? Nothing's going to top it. I mean, listen to this, man. I mean, Jesus, boy, here's something to be thankful for. Not what he's done, just who he is. You know, even though a lot of that is wrapped up in what he's done. And so we have the bread of life, man, the life of God. We can have the life of God dwelling in us. What are you going to get this Christmas going to top that? Any Christmas? Nothing. The life of God. I mean, man, I mean, it's just like, you could just sit there and meditate. And you know, listen, Satan's got us so, he's got us so jumbled up in the world that we're running to and fro, man. I say in my family, they run so much, they get me wound up in their running. I gotta go fill in so they can get all the running done. Now I'm running to keep their running going. But we don't, Satan's got us that way because we won't sit down and stop for a minute and just start thinking about what I'm talking about, just the life of God in us. That's what God gave us through his son. Huh? Woo, man, that's something to shout about right there. I mean, this is it. And so think about this. We're looking in the Bible here. This was an offering of thanksgiving, and it was a peace offering. But the peace offering really was God giving us Jesus. It pointed to that. He extended the peace offering to us. God did. Not us offering it to him. I mean, isn't that something? That's some good stuff right there. Now, the second thing I see right here in our text that's pointed out or shown is the Holy Spirit. We can be thankful for that. Look what it said in verse 12. He shall offer it for a thanksgiving. Then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes. And then it says mingled with oil. Mingle with oil. We got unleavened cakes and or wafers mingled with oil. We've got unleavened bread as a picture of Christ. Now we've got mingled with oil. The oil in the Bible is mostly pointing to the Holy Spirit. We've got the Holy Spirit of God. Unleavened cakes, Christ, mingle with oil, the Holy Spirit. And this is the very presence of God himself in our hearts. Christ lives within us. I mean, man, I'm telling you, there's a song we're going to learn in the choir. I got two songs coming for us. The Isaacs do one called His Life for Mine. Now it's talking about Jesus on the cross giving his life for mine. But hey, but what about the exchange life? His life for mine in a reality where now it's not my life, it's Christ's life living in me. That's the Christ life. Boy, when you got the life of Christ living in you, you no longer, you know, the I is gone, the self is gone, the me is gone. It's Christ, it's his life. And man, think about that. Now we've got God dwelling in us. What a gift is that? What kind of a gift is that? I mean, here it is, the Holy Spirit of God that we've got. We can be thankful for the Holy Spirit of God without whom I could go all year, there's no victory. I mean, we wouldn't have power to do anything. We wouldn't have all the other things that go with it is because the Holy Spirit himself, he's a person. The Holy Spirit himself, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, he's living in us. I don't think that a person, I started out saying this, I don't think that a person can truly be thankful apart from the presence of the Holy Spirit in their life. And the reason is because you really don't understand what to be thankful for or how to be thankful apart from the Holy Spirit of God. We just can't do it. And so, because what happens is the Holy Spirit, I mean, he enlightens, and that's key. So you don't know. You don't have knowledge without the Holy Spirit. But then he also produces joy. He produces that peace that I spoke about. It's the very love of God. It's God himself, and God is love, and therefore we're filled with the love of God. I can't explain it to you. I'm just telling you how it is. And when you got it, you got it. And when you don't, and you know it both times. You'll know that. And it produces that. The Holy Spirit produces love for God. I don't think you can do it on your own. I always say this, you know, God, help me love you more, because I know I can't love them like I should. Love other people through me, because I know I can't love you apart from God helping me or loving you through me. I pray, Lord, heard Sammy Fry. Sammy Fry played with John Denver's band years ago. He's saved now. He writes Christian music, comes to the prayer band sometimes. Sammy Fry prayed that prayer. I never forgot it. I told him about it one time. He didn't remember praying it. I said, man, it stuck with me. Like, I can't. And I said, I said, Lord, help me or love other people through me. You love them through me because I can't do it. I can't love them. You know why? Because self is too self-centered. Self is too selfish to love people. God's got to do it. God's got to do it. And I said, God, love people through me if you would do that. We can't do that. And you know, so love for God, love for our fellow man. Damien was speaking last week on getting off that first level of Christian experience where all we really think about is, oh, hey, I'm going to heaven, and hey, I'm not going to hell, and that's it, and we're just thankful. And you ask a lot of people what to be thankful for. What should we be thankful for? The very first thing, oh, you know, my sickness is gone, and I'm not going to hell, and I'm going to heaven. And boy, they can't get down in this deeper things. When we start really thinking about the deep things of God, what God does in us with His Holy Spirit, like peace. Peace is a people would pay big money if you could provide peace in a can, huh? But you can't get it. I mean, there's so many people they got all the money, they got the money, they got the power, they got the position, they got everything the world offered. They don't have no peace, and they go out of their minds. They go out of their minds because they don't have peace. God is producing that, and so we need to get experience in these other things, and we ought to be thankful for these things, and even ask God. This is where we go as awry in our prayer life. Honestly, we pray for the most trivial in light of the big picture. I'm not saying things are, you know, health things are trivial, but I'm just saying we don't pray for what, like, well, I don't know this and I don't know that and I don't. Well, ask God. You know, say, God, I need more wisdom. You know, God, I need to feel more of Your love. God, I want to experience a feeling of the whole. Ask God for it, but we don't pray for that. We ask God for every other thing. Lord, I hope I make it down 81, which you ought to be praying about getting down 81. But I'm just saying, we're down on that level instead of getting up here to that level. We think about that. Experience more of His peace, more of His presence, more of His power. It's all there. Listen, God's willing. God wants to give us these things. And, realize, how about being thankful for the fact that God took the guilt away from our old sinful life? Man, we hardly ever hear thanks for that either. And the cleansing power of God. Boy, where we feel clean, you know, you don't feel dirty. You know, you get out there and sin, man, you just feel dirty. And I mean, man, God can cleanse us in the victorious life that we can live because of the Holy Spirit of God living in us, man. I mean, listen, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He gives us the victory. That, man, there's that cleansing power of His blood. We're talking about that on a little plug in for Wednesday night. I've been preaching about the blood of Christ, man. And you can't just talk about it in one day. What it all does, the cleansing power. I think we've already gone through that. The blood of Christ cleanses us. So that's part of the guilt taken away. Listen, man, if you had a stain that you had to carry all the time, it would always remind you. It would always remind you of something. You know, you watch some crime shows on TV, and the guy bumps somebody off, and then he's doing everything they can to get the blood. He's got to get the blood away. And sometimes they get it on. They got things now that can detect it anyway. But they try painting the walls. Even I saw they got a thing, a light they can shine up there. They see the blood underneath the paint. They can see it. Boy, I mean, you got to get all that old sin cleansed. You know, we can be thankful for that. And we could never thank God enough for all that He has and continues to do, all that He is, all those things. Along with the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. That's talking about fellowship with God. And I think this is something that, you know, for years I was, you know, just at that other level. You know, I just wasn't thinking about these deeper things. What a joy it is to fellowship with God. I mean, you don't have to have anything else. You know, you're in His presence and you feel like you're filled with the love of God. And all the other things, the peace of God, nothing's going to bother you. And just to be thankful for that, just to enjoy that. Man, that is fellowship. We ought to be thankful that I'm just thankful that God even wants to fellowship with me. But He wants fellowship with every one of us. Communion with God, communion, a real communion, not just the sacraments or doing the going through the motions with the unleavened bread and wine. I mean, that's like water baptism, man. It's really not going to do nothing if your spiritual life, if your mind and heart's not right with God, it doesn't mean anything. But having that presence, the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit, being in fellowship with God, I mean, just that's a profound thought. That God Almighty, I mean, the Creator, there's not a, I mean, we would think it big if, Political differences aside, but if you got an invitation to the White House, the president, we don't get to hobnob with them people. You can't hardly get near a senator. You can't get near. We watched you guys. I went, remember one time, Darrell Lamb, he gave me some ticket. Never been to a NASCAR race. The thing got rained out, and he said, hey, I got these tickets. I think Eileen suggested that I'll give you some props. But I got the tickets. Never been there. I thought, oh, that'll be cool. I'll go down there, and I'll get to see the drivers in person, all that. Psh, you couldn't get near them with a tank, man. I mean, you ain't nowhere near. You don't get around them. You go to these pro football, you like whatever you like. You don't hardly get near them player. You can't get near these celebrities and all that. Oh, I'm going to go to Taylor Swift concert. I mean, she ain't going to pay no attention to us. Huh? We don't get, huh? But think about this, that we get to fellowship with God. Amen. There ain't nothing higher. They're nothing, it's God. We get to fellowship, commune with God. Almighty, there's no higher person that you're going to be able to hobnob with than God, if I can use it. That's not disrespectful, but I mean, there's no higher person. Fellowship with God. That's a profound thing that he even wants to fellowship with us. But he desires that. That's even a profound thing. You will wrap your head around that. God wants to hang out with me? Yeah. Yeah, he does. Then there is provision and protection, the third thing as well. We got that. Look what it said in verse 12. We got the unleavened bread, Christ. We've got mingled with oil, the Holy Spirit. And it said fine flour. It said fried right there. Mingled with oil, it's fried. Now, it's speaking of Christ's sacrifice. You know, what he went through, Garden of Gethsemane, the trial, the scourge, the cross. Everything he went through, not only that, what we don't see is all the sins of the world placed upon him when he hung on that cross. Man, that was the fire like now. I mean, when you get to sweating great drops of blood, you're under some pressure, what you're about to go through or what you're facing at that time. And it certainly speaks of that Jesus Christ went through the fire for us. But we can also see that as our own selves going through the fire. The trials of life, the test of life. I don't think that we can be truly thankful until we pass through the fire ourselves. You know, when we're crucified with Christ, we sing, and then we talk about, we got a verse of Galatians 2:20, crucified with Christ, his death, his suffering, his resurrection to the victorious life. I always like the story of the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. I'll probably say something about that once every 3 months, whether you want to hear it or not. But I mean, man, listen, they didn't know nothing about the abiding presence of the Son of God that was the pre-incarnate Christ walking around in that furnace with them. It never would have happened if they hadn't have gone in the furnace. If they had a chickened out and bowed down and worshiped that image, they would have never walked in the fire and had to, the cords were burnt, but their clothes didn't burn. Why? Because of the provision and the protection of God. That's why the thing that bound them was burned away, but they walked in the fire, man. They were just walking around in there, which if I wasn't getting burned, that'd be pretty cool, man, walking around in there, but they were walking in there with Jesus. Huh? I mean, so they wouldn't have experienced that without the trial and fire. Listen, when are you the closest? When are you the closest with God in your felt nearness of God? It's when you're going through a trial in your life. I mean, it's when times get hard. It's when things happen that you don't understand, and you feel that presence of God like none other when you're in the fire. And I mean, so we can thank God for the fire. See, we can thank God for that part of it, because it does something as far as our relationship with him goes. And now we can really understand something and be thankful for. And we realize this, that it's really all about him and not about us. It's all about God. It's all about him. And listen, God working in us, through us, to bring about his perfect will for us, no matter what it is, what we have to go through. Well, we can be thankful for that. So that's why, because sometimes you think, well, how can we be thankful for, bad things that happen in our life? Listen, nothing happens outside of God's will. I don't know why they happen, when they happen, and what happens. I can't explain that. I just know that God's going to use it to do something in our life. If you're a child of God, God's going to use it for you somehow. And so there we can turn around and say, God, hey, it's okay. God wants you to be as honest as you can be. I mean, and God wants you, say, God, I don't understand it. I wish it hadn't happened, but I know that there's something in there for me. You show me what it is. Lord, help me see. And that's just a part of life that we have to go through. And so then also we see sacrifice ourselves. See, up until now, everything that we've been talking about the sacrifice of thanksgiving as part of this peace offering has only included unleavened bread, Christ, mingled with oil, the Holy Spirit, and then we see fried, which really in context would be Christ's sacrifice. But there's one more ingredient that we're going to see pop up here, and that's in verse 13. If you look right there, it says, let me get my glasses on. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving and his peace offering. So we already talked about the unleavened bread, and unleavened always pictures sin. And so we know unleavened bread has to picture Christ. And now we've got leavened bread. Guess who that is? That's us. Yeah. Now it said with this offering, because see, you know, God just doesn't want us to like give him something outside of ourselves and say, here, God, like God don't need a lamb. God doesn't need a bull. He doesn't need a goat. He doesn't need anything that you and I have external. The only thing that what he wants us to offer him is ourselves. And so we see this leavened bread. You know, the Bible tells us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. It's the sacrifice of thanksgiving. This is how you really thank God. There's nothing else you can give him to really show your thanks. It's only ourselves, giving ourselves to him. It's not enough to thank God, but we need to offer ourselves. You know, it's offering of our life, our service. That's what we give God. Be faithful, sanctified, holy. The Bible tells us to do that. Sold out to God. Anything less than our total self is not thanksgiving. Verse 14, it shows it another way. It says, and he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for a heave offering unto the Lord. A heave offering was where they would take something. It could be, there was different, they offered, sometimes they had drink offerings and, you know, other types of offerings where there was some things involved. And they would hold them up. They would hold them up like this to God, like they were actually placing these offerings into the hand of God. It was a heave offering. They heaved it up. Heaved it up to hand, like they were handing that heave offering up to God. And so it was a picture of that. So what it means to us is like we are offering ourselves, placing ourselves into the hands of God. The Bible tells us to lift up holy hands, placing our hearts in the hand of God. That's what it's picturing right there. And that means holding back nothing. And this is the place that where we can really commune with God. This is where you got to get to. You got to get to, you know, to really have communion. It's got to be open and, man, everything is given up to God and say, listen, I'm not holding anything back. And that brings us to the next point, to communion with God. And we see, look what it said in verse 15. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. Eaten the same day that it is offered. This was the only sacrifice offered in the temple where everyone got to eat part of it. Other times it was just the high priest, which is still pictured Christ, see. So they got to eat of it, but not everybody else. This is the only offering that was offered in the temple where everybody got to partake. So what is it like? We had a big Thanksgiving meal last week, right? What do we do? I mean, you know, really there's some, I don't know that people think of this in a spiritual way, but that's, you know, we all brought food and we all partook of that, you know, might be something connected here with this, but it's the only time. And so it means that we're sharing with God in the sacrifice of Christ, the offering of ourself. I mean, that's all together. That's what we're doing. It's this communion with God. And what happens then, God is glorified in that, and God is praised in that. Men are blessed and sanctified in that when it takes place. Now listen, there's nothing higher than praising God and giving God the glory and honoring God. I mean, you know, that's what we can do. And so what happens, our fellowship with God and our fellowship with man is wrapped up in the sacrifice of thanksgiving. It all gets connected together. And boy, that's why, you know, have you ever, let me ask you this. I usually save this for Christmas, but I'll get you with it now. a lot of times, holidays, you know, you get repetitive anyway because we go to the same text and we like to look at that. And trust me, 28 years, 27 years now, going on my 28th year. Boy, you're digging for straws, man. You're trying to find something that you hadn't said before. But I've said this before too, but I'll say it again. How many of you ever remember before you got saved? Think back. Maybe when you was a kid, maybe even as an adult. Did you ever notice, and to me it's this way, it's been this way my whole life. There's something on Christmas Eve. There is a feeling of peace that I felt before I knew the Lord. I mean, I wasn't an unbeliever as far as the fact that God existed and all that. I always knew there was a God, but I wouldn't say. And even in this time of year sometimes. I mean, I know we hear about tragedies and this and that, but I'm talking generally. It just seems like people, there's this merrier, friendlier, you know, yeah, you're in retail, you probably see that. Oh, yeah, we'd just gladly give you $3,000 for a couch. Here you go. And but you know, I'm just seeing, and on Christmas Eve, it really just, I can just feel that peace of God. I like to walk outside after everybody goes and just look at the sky. And man, I mean, there's a peace that you can feel it. It's a real tangible thing. I felt it all my life around this and that joy of the holidays. Well, see, it's the fellowship, your fellowship with God and your fellowship with man. And once you get saved, oh, it's even, you ought to have it all the time. I mean, we ought to have it, and we should. You know, we'll have it all the time. People need to see Christmas every day, you know, in a Christian life. Christmas every day, we ought to see that. And so, you know, our fellowship with God and man, everything with the sacrifice, it said all to be eaten the same day, that same day. And there's, I'm stretching this out, I'm sure, on the exegesis of the text. But, you know, every day has to be a new fellowship with God. It's, you know, like say you come here today and you get something out of what we're saying and the Word of God, and it's good. But you know what? It's not enough for tomorrow. No, man, you got to have fellowship with God. You got to, you know, I can't go to everybody's house and take you by the hand and get the Bible out and say, hey, let's pray and let's fellowship. You've got to have your communion with God, your fellowship with God. And the more you get it, the more you desire it. I mean, if you eat something good, you like to eat it again, right? Can't lay off it, right? Bet you can't eat just one. And so here's Jesus, man. Here's our communion. When you really have fellowship with God, you want that. You desire that, fellowship with God. And so it's a daily communion. Every day is a new day. Every day is a new day of fellowship. We can thank God for another day to fellowship here, and it's just going to get better. It's just going to get better. Every day is another day to be thankful. Every day is another day to offer ourselves to God. You know, what can God do with us? What we did yesterday is not going to be sufficient for today, and what we do today not sufficient for tomorrow. Listen, y'all gonna eat when church is over with, most of you, right? Huh? And then you're probably gonna eat something later tonight. You're gonna be hungry. How come if you ate at lunchtime, you gotta eat again at supper time? Because it didn't last, right? And then you're gonna eat again tomorrow, right? But it's the same thing with the bread of life. It's not enough. And it should be. Listen, we were down there on our camping trip, and the lady that the mother of the boy that owns the restaurant, she made us this apple cake, man. I'm telling you. That thing is so moist, you could take a piece of the cake, I could slap it up on that wall right there, and it would stick, a cake. It would stick on that wall. And then she's got this sauce that's got like caramel and butter, and it's brown, and it's liquid, and you drizzle that on top of that. And she threw that thing in there where we were at that our hunting camp in the trailer. It was like a pack of hungry wolves. And I went over there, we got there one afternoon, we dawned on us, and luckily, I guess Les wasn't there, had gone back, so it was me and John and Randy sitting there, and we're looking, Kyle and Brian had already left, and we look, and that thing was sitting there, and we go, oh, look, and John said, oh, it's that apple cake. The next day, it's a big cake. The next day at lunchtime, there was this one lonely piece sitting there, because we kept going back, because it was good, and we kept going back, and it was good, and I'm going to tell you what, you get in fellowship with God that way. And, buddy, you keep going back because it is good, huh? It's better than that apple cake, huh? It's better, huh? You keep going back. That's the way it ought to, that's the way it ought to be. I mean, listen, this is, you know, and I said this before, you know, the early churchmen, you know, when they went to church every day, you know why? Because they just wanted to go back. They wanted to fellowship with one another. They wanted to fellowship. I can put a plug in for Sunday night service. They wanted to fellowship with one another. They wanted to get around. They wanted to get around God's people. They wanted to get around the God of the Word of God. And man, I mean, because it was good, good, good. They didn't get enough. They didn't get enough. I love pecan pie. Man, they had pecan pie to every Thanksgiving thing. You know, I get that one piece, and man, that stuff, I know it's probably not good for you. But I'm going to tell you what, got to have one more piece. Got some at the house, man. Hit that baby 11 seconds in the microwave. It's good to go when it comes out of the refrigerator. This is the daily walk that God desired. Listen, and here's the thing about this. God wants it. God desires it. And God knows how good it's going to be for us if we would just really realize it. He desires it. If you're saved today, listen, I'm going to think about this. I'm almost done. Paul, you can come on down here for closing. If you're saved today, you know, we need to reflect, as we should every day, on what blessings we have as they pertain to God directly. Just be thankful. And if you're not saved, listen, be thankful that you have another opportunity. You got another opportunity today. Right now, you can be saved today. I was talking to Pastor Les Ketron. He was here for a homecoming. I talked to him last week, early in the week, and he had a lady saved on Sunday morning. He said, I had one saved on Sunday. I was kidding with him. I said, who was preaching? He said, she young, a lady, early 30s, been coming 2 or 3 weeks. Man, she come down here and want to get saved. Huh? You got another opportunity today. I don't know that you got one tomorrow, but you got one today. Let's all stand with our heads bowed. If God spoke to your heart, you come. If you need to be saved.